One verse of scripture to start with this morning in Luke chapter 4, verse 23. Luke, the fourth chapter, and verse 23. This verse makes reference to a parable or to a phrase that was used, and Jesus mentions the phrase in verse 23. He says, "And he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." Now the proverb, this three-word proverb, physician, heal thyself, literally just meant. It just meant that if you are going to be able to help someone else, if you're going to be able to heal someone else, then you're going to have to heal yourself first. You're going to have to be healthy if you're going to be able to help somebody else. Now, when it comes to the ministry of the church, the ministry of evangelism, missions, reaching out to the world, it's so important as a church that we see that we really do not have anything to offer if our walk with God and our relationship with God is not healthy. A healthy church produces good things. And all real effective ministry flows out of your relationship with God. And if you have no relationship with God, if you have, you know, other than that, it's just going to be good deeds. It's going to be benevolence. And none of those things are bad in and of themselves. But life-changing ministry only comes when there is life in us. When we are alive in Jesus Christ, then we have something to offer the world that is in need. Amen. If you've ever flown, I guess most everybody here, you've flown on a public airline. You've probably had, I know you have, you've had the flight attendant give the instructions. If you fly a lot, you just kind of, after the first few flights, I guess I flew the first time when I was about maybe 17, 18 years old. And then since that time, I don't know how many times that I've flown, but a lot over many years. And so now when the flight attendant is given the instructions before the flight takes off, I don't usually pay a whole lot of attention. I'm usually reading the magazine or, you know, whatever, just not paying much of attention to what they're saying. But here's one of the phrases that they always say. And this is one that you need to hear. It says, they say, in the unlikely event of a sudden cabin depressurization, an oxygen mask will drop down in front of your face. That sounds pretty serious. Pull down firmly on the tube to start the flow of oxygen. Place the mask over your nose and mouth. Put on the elastic, pull on the elastic tabs on the side of the mask to adjust the fit and breathe normally. I don't know how you could ever breathe normally if that happened. We all would be breathing heavy if that happened. It says, put it on. And then here's the important part of the instruction. Put on your own mask before helping those around you. Put on your own mask before you help those others around you. Don't help your children. Don't help the babies. Don't help anybody else around you. Put the mask on yourself first. And then you're able to help others around you. Amen. If you don't do that and oxygen is gone, you know what could happen. You could lose consciousness. You could not be able to do anything. Not only would you suffer, but those around you would suffer because you would not be able to help anyone else around you. So the application of that to the church is quite obvious, that we're not going to be able to help those that are around us. The world can't get any help. Our community, the lost, the needy that are around us cannot receive help unless we first of all make sure that we have taken care of our own spiritual condition. Amen. Spiritually strong, healthy Christians produce a healthy church, and that healthy church is able to do something about the needs of the world. As I said, it only real effective ministry that comes, it has to flow out of your life. Amen. And as it flows out of your life, then you have something to offer. Otherwise, you're just offering what anyone could offer. Since we're children of God and we are born again Christians and we're called of God to be salt and light in our world. Here we are on the brink of this week of missions emphasis, but we need to be reminded this morning, the only way we can really be the church that God has called us to be is if we are strong spiritually ourselves. We have to build ourselves up in our most holy faith. You remember the prayer of the psalmist David. David had sinned a horrible sin and of adultery. And Psalm 51 is his prayer of repentance. And a part of this prayer is, Lord, I want to get back to what I used to be. I want to be restored. I want you to create in me a clean heart. I want you to do a work in me. Renew a right spirit in me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Verse 13 of Psalm 51 then says, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. David understood that the only way that he could bless or help anyone else was he was going to have to get back in a right relationship to God. He was going to have a new heart. He was going to have to be renewed. He was going to have to be restored if he was going to have anything to offer to the world that's in need. Now, that's a theme that runs throughout the scripture, and I'll give you a few more verses. But the message this morning is, physician, heal yourself. Heal yourself. I don't think any of us would want to go to a physician or a doctor that didn't take care of their own health, that they were not healthy, and that they couldn't offer you anything themselves because of their own failing health. Well, Marcia and I got married way back in the olden days. That's when you had to have blood tests before you could get your marriage license. I know that's not required anymore, but we just had a little window of opportunity. I had just come into town, and for a day or two, I don't remember the circumstance, but we had to go to get our marriage license. And so Brother Huff, he knew a doctor, and that could get us in. Was his name Eisen? Eisen? Anybody remember Brother Dr. Eisen? Well, when we went to him, he was old as the hills. And we walked in there, and he was going to take blood out of our arms. And his hand was shaking like this. And I tell you what I thought. You know, I'm not really all that afraid of needles, but that day I was petrified because this guy was shaking. And thankfully, when he got down to our arm, he just kind of calmed right down and got the blood out of our arms, and we survived the whole situation. But it was risky. It seemed really risky. But it was one of these deals. Brother Huff knew him, you know, and he could get us in. And we got the blood test. And I'll tell you what, when you go to the doctor, you want to know you can get some help. Right? Amen. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You're able to minister if you take care of yourself spiritually. You have to be spiritually strong, spiritually healthy. You have to make sure that every area of your life, you have made yourself available to the Lord. If you are willing to be, if you really want to be used of the Lord, first of all, take heed to yourself. Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So before you're able to help someone and to restore someone or bless someone's life, you have to consider yourself. Consider your own circumstance and your own need. Again, then in Luke chapter 6 and verse 42, the same theme. Either thou canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye. When thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye, thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. You're just saying, you know, you're wanting to pull out and pick out a little small splinter out of your brother's eye, but you've got a big beam, a big log in your eye. Take care of your own problem first, and then you will be able to see clearly to minister to others that are in need. I feel this personally. I feel Brother Greg was describing in Sunday school this morning. I don't feel satisfied in the level of fruitfulness in our ministry, in my ministry personally. I'm not satisfied with it. I want to see more people helped, more people blessed, more people saved, more people delivered. I want to see God working and moving in the lives of many, many people. That's the kind of fruitfulness that I want to see. That's what I want to see among us as a church and the body of Christ, touching many, many people for the Lord. And it all comes back to where we are in a personal examination of our own self. I don't know if you're willing to do this or not, but I just would encourage you, as I have done even in recent days, just doing a personal evaluation, a personal just an examination. It's not a pleasant thing. I guess men are more this way than women are. I don't know, but I've always despised going to the doctor. I don't want to go. But sometimes it seems like it's the best thing to do, to go. A year ago this week, we had traveled to New Mexico to our daughter's wedding. My job in the wedding was to walk her down the aisle. That's all I had to do. Just walk her down the aisle. When I got up on the morning of the wedding, I was bad sick. And I felt terrible. I looked green almost. I was nauseated. I was weak. I couldn't figure out what was going on. They all wanted to go to this breakfast place that morning. And I went and I just sat there. I was just terribly sick. I went back to the house, went to bed. My wife had a lot of work to do that day, and so she resented me going to bed. But I couldn't do anything. I was just sick. And I was sick all day long. And when I had to get up and go to the wedding, I did. But it was just a horrible experience that day. Now, I didn't know what was going on. But a little while later, I found out that what was going on with me physically was a very serious situation. And I remember laying there on my back as the doctor, the cardiologist, is running that thing up my wrist and into my heart. And I'm fully awake, and I'm watching on a monitor what he's doing. And he works for a little bit, and then he says, okay, I see your problem. This looks like you've got a real problem. Well, I'm scared to death laying here on my back. And he says, we'll see if we can open that up. He works for another while. Seemed like a long, long time. Probably was just a few minutes. But then he said, okay, we've been able to open it up. And we're going to put a stent in there now to keep it open. And from that day forward, I have felt 100% better. But it took a long process of me finally, okay, I'll go to the doctor. Okay, I'll go through that test. Okay, I'll do this. No one likes all this personal examination physically, and we certainly don't enjoy it spiritually. But it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. It's difficult, but you have to make the decision. Do I want my life to be fruitful? Do I want to do things that are going to count for eternity's sake? Am I going to be able to make a difference for the kingdom of God? And the only way that we can is we allow God to inspect us and to search us and to reveal those areas of our life that are not pleasing to the Lord. Well, this morning, I'd like to just ask you, to invite the Lord to examine your own heart, to examine your life. That's what the psalmist did. Psalm 39:23. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's what David, this man who is after God's heart, that's what he did. Because he presented himself to the Lord and said, Lord, search me, examine me. Look at my life. See the areas of my life that I can't see myself, Lord. And you deal with me and you reveal those wicked ways in me. Hebrews 4:12 describes the power of the Word of God. The Word of God is quick, it's sharp, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You see, the God that we serve, by the power of the Spirit and through the influence of the Word of God, can dig deep. Can dig so deep that God, by His Word, can reveal even your motives, even your thoughts, even the intent of your heart. God can reveal those areas of your life. And when you submit yourself to Him for a Holy Ghost inspection, then you can expect that if you'll be honest before the Lord, that He's going to reveal some wicked ways in you. He's going to reveal some areas of your life that are not pleasing to Him. He's going to get down deep to the heart of the matter, to the motive, to the intentions of your heart. Physician, heal thyself. Before you can help anybody else, you have to be willing to submit yourself to the Lord for this divine inspection. I have to tell you, in all the years that I've been in church, there have been many, many times that I've been in services where the Spirit of God would begin to move, or the preacher would begin to preach. It was almost as if everybody in the congregation, that they were just blacked out. It was almost as if God was just putting the spotlight on me. And I sensed the voice of the Lord talking to me and dealing with me and revealing those areas of my life that are not pleasing to the Lord. It's not a very pleasant thing, but are you willing to allow Him to do that? Are you willing to allow Him to work in your life? When He deals with your heart this way, He'll reveal some things. He may reveal the fact that you have a cold, dead heart. He may reveal that you have no feeling, no sensitivity of the Spirit, that there's just a deadness in your life. Is that the condition that you're in this morning? That everybody else, you look around and others are weeping and crying in a service, others are rejoicing and praising God, and you're just sitting there dead, unmoved, untouched by the things of God or by the Word of God. Is that what is going on? Is that what God, by His Spirit, will reveal in your heart? That there's a deadness and a hardness and a lack of real life and feeling. There's a song, Bring Back the New Again. Isn't that something that we really need? We need God to bring us back to the time where we would renew that first love, so we would have the same feeling and the same zeal and the same emotion that we had when we first came to the Lord. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if we would just go back to those experiences, those early experiences when there was this love and this commitment and this zeal for the things of God? The Holy Ghost can reveal those areas of your life. It might reveal that you have become carnal and worldly minded. It's another symptom of sickness of the soul, spiritual need in your own life. You know how serious that this is? The Bible says to be carnally minded is death. Carnally minded is death. If you are carnally minded, there's no way that you can be spiritually minded. The Bible says they're at enmity. One, the flesh and the spirit, the carnal life, the spiritual life. And as you encourage and you promote the carnal life, the spiritual man is dying out and losing strength and power. Would a Holy Ghost inspection of your heart reveal that you love the things of the world more than you love the things of God? Would it reveal that you're not spiritually minded, but instead your thoughts and your mind are upon everything else that this world has to offer? Maybe this inspection of the Spirit would also reveal that you're not a praying person. It would maybe reveal your lack of willingness to pray, to trust God, to call upon the Lord. And you try everything else before you pray. Prayerlessness is a symptom of spiritual sickness. That you're not trusting the Lord. You're not calling upon the Lord. You're self-sufficient. You think you can work out your problems and your needs, and you can resolve it all in your own power. But that person who is committed to God and loves the Lord and has a zeal for the things of God is going to be a person of prayer. It's going to be a person of call upon the Lord. Not only of prayer, but a person of the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God, it becomes something of a, that your heart and your soul just longs for the truth. Longs for it. The psalmist David had described it in Psalm 119 and also in Psalm 19. He described it as that the law of the Lord is more precious than gold and silver. He said, it's what I delight in. I delight in your law. I love it. He says, it's my meditation in the morning and at night. All day long, it is my meditation. He says in Psalm 19 and 10, more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Is that how the Word of God is to you? I love it when new Christians get saved, come to the Lord, and they have such a hunger for God. They're reading the Bible. They're going to church. They're taking care of it, every opportunity they have to hear the Word of the Lord. There's this hunger and desire for the Word of God. But we serve God for a while. Months and the years go by. We lose our interest in the Bible, our interest in the truth, our hunger and our desire for the Word of the Lord. The Spirit of God will reveal these areas of our life, our prayerlessness, our carnality, our love for the world and of the flesh and the things of this world, when you submit yourself to be inspected by God. It'll reveal these errors in your life. What about the house of God? What about your love and your affection toward the people of God? That's one of the things that happens whenever you become a Christian, is that you have a new family. And you're not physically family, but you're spiritually family. And you have so much in common with them because they love God. They love the Word of God. They love to pray. They love the spiritual blessings as well. When you begin to lose your affection for the people of God, and you just as soon keep company with anybody else as much as you would those that are of the things of God. You see, the Spirit of God knits us together in a common bond. That's what you read as we're going through the book of Acts in Sunday school. You see, they had all things common. They were working together. They had a common love and a common burden, and they were working together. Whenever the Spirit of God deals with your life, it may reveal that your love is for other things other than love for the people of God. The Spirit of God may reveal that you're just as satisfied with the letter of the law and not the Spirit. You know, sometimes we do that. When we get carnal, we substitute the letter of the law for the Spirit of the law. Amen. And when we do that, then we get so imbalanced. We get so off base when we are not motivated by the truth and the Spirit of the living God. Amen. Amen. I could go on and on with these areas of your life and maybe not touch that one thing in your life that the Spirit of God would reveal. But if you'll present yourself to the Lord today, honestly, before the Lord, then He'll reveal those areas of your life. If you'll be honest before God, He will reveal those areas of your life that are not pleasing to the Lord. And you'll begin to see
And really, the only way we can really influence the world, we can't be a missionary church if we're not a strong church. We can't have a zeal for the lost unless we are personally strong in the things of the Lord. We have to strengthen ourselves in the Word and in the power of the Spirit of the Lord. Whenever we're selfish and carnal, then we ignore the world and the needs of the world. We don't see the world as Jesus sees the world. We're quicker to judge them than we are to show love and compassion toward them. God opens your eyes. Amen. That's what the psalmist David said. Take care of my heart problem. Take care of these areas. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Then I'll be able to teach transgressors. Then I will be able to minister to those in their need. Is that your desire? I pray that as a church that we truly are a missionary church. And I appreciate the fact that many of you give and you sacrifice and you love the work of God everywhere. But really, the only way that we can truly be fruitful is if we personally have allowed God to deal with us. When Jesus brought that message to those at Capernaum, he knew that they were going to be saying of him, well, if you think you can heal us, take care of your own problems. All the accusations and the things that were being said about Jesus, even though that they were false. And Jesus, he knew their thoughts. He said, I know you're saying, physician, heal thyself. Heal thyself. And he was and is the great physician. He is the one that can take care of your needs, my needs, and the ills of the world. But as the body, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, I need renewed fire. I need a renewed love for God. I need to get back to a commitment to the things of God and to the word of the Lord. And I think every one of us recognize, surely we recognize our need of this, because we can't really touch the lives of people that we want to touch unless we experience this renewing of the Spirit in our own personal lives. Amen. Let's pray together. Would you stand with me? Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've given us opportunities to touch the lives of those in our community that are lost and all over the world through an extension of these various missionary ministries. But Lord, we recognize we are powerless. We don't have anything to offer. It is only, Lord, as you are working in our lives personally, that there can be this overflow. And we know that all ministry is an overflow. It pours out of us. It pours out of our sincerity, our commitment, our love, our determination, Lord, to serve you with our whole heart. And I pray, Lord, that in this service today, that you'll work by your Spirit, Lord, and begin to do a work of inspection on all of us, revealing those areas of our life that are not pleasing to you. And then, Lord, help us, give us the grace to hear your voice and to do what you're asking us to do. Lord, we ask you to change us as a church. Change us, Lord. Give us a vision and a burden like we've not had before. Help us to see the world through your eyes. Touch us, Lord, so that we can teach transgressors. Change us, Lord, so that we can pour out and have something to offer to a world that's desperately in need. Oh God, I pray, Lord, that you would cause us to sense our need to be stronger, to be, Lord, a healthier body, church, so that we can really obey your command to carry the gospel to the world. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.